When we think of the
words of those two hymns we sang, praise the Lord, great things he has done, and Jesus saves, we marvel that anyone cannot be concerned about the loss of our own. How important it is for us all to be busy with getting out the gospel both here and in the lands beyond the sea. Appreciate it. It was a privilege to be here tonight to tell you something about the ministry of CMML. We know there is a great deal of misunderstanding and a conception of just what CMML is and how it operates. We try to hope to explain that tonight. I'd like to say a special thanks to all the believers in this area for their interest in the missionary outreach. All the three assemblies here have been very helpful in every aspect of the work. And a special word of thanks to the sisters here at the Greenwood Hills Assembly for all the things that they have done. They've had a very special project over the years with these Betty Crocker coupons, I hope I got it right, or General Mills or somebody's. And they have provided an awful lot of stainless flatware for the missionaries overseas. And if you could hear them talk about how much they appreciate that, you would know that maybe it seems like an endless task of getting these coupons together and mailing them out, but the missionaries really appreciate it. Another thing we heard just this week, a man from Canada been sending us a little gift now and then, and he asked us if we wouldn't return the stamp that was on his envelope back to him with the letter because he used them. And we did that his first time, and then he did it again. The second time he did it, why, my wife stuck some extra stamps in the envelope for him, and he came back and with a great letter of appreciation. He's a stamp collector himself, specializes in two or three places, but he's very helpful to missionaries on the field. In fact, when Grace Richardson was at home from Sakagi, when she went back, he gave her a load of stamps and several stamp albums, and she was able to get some children at Sakagi school started stamp collecting. And he sent along some letters that he got from these missionary children at Sakagi, how much they appreciated the stamps. Apparently, they started a little bit of a stamp club, and after they came so many times and evidenced an interest in the hobby, why, she gave him one of the stamp albums, and they all wrote back to him how much he appreciated that. So we are going to try to divert some more of our stamps to him to help him out in this way. Most of the stamps we get on the letters that we receive from you, if you don't put them too close to the corner so that the perforation gets ruined, and if you don't use the common ordinary, I was going to say 3-cent ones, but I mean 22-cent ones, why, we do send them off to a few different places where they are sold, and the proceeds either come back to us or go to some missionary project. So remember that when you put stamps on your envelopes. We had a great time of prayer this afternoon. There's one or two things mentioned there that were new, and I'd like to just add a few more that have come to my mind as we came out here today. Tom Aiken was mentioned, how thankful we are that his boy, Justin, the young boy that had the bad fall and hit his head on the kitchen floor, that concrete floor, that he has now apparently fully recovered, just trusting that he doesn't bump his head another time before they get him back here to the States and have him examined by a specialist. We mentioned this afternoon, too, Peter and Lois Clift, and what a testimony Lois was. When they were with us at the Conference for Missionaries last year, they gave us a little conference, a concert. And in one of the hymns that he was playing on the piano, Peter told about how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. And he said how that was their theme song as they were going back to Japan, knowing her condition, but knowing how the Lord had blessed them. It said those words, that soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And the strength of those words, they've gone back, and the Lord is blessing them. Then there's another young couple in Japan, Alan Marion Essex. She was born in the mission field in Japan, the daughter of Hans Bowman. She has come home. She's only 26 years of age, but she has terminal cancer. They do not expect her to live more than 2 or 3 months. They did an operation on her, but her liver and everything else is all full of it. But she's gone through all sorts of treatments. You might remember to pray for her. And then Elwood Vardy from Ecuador is also having difficulty with cancer and undergoing treatment in Canada. And then Lois Torello was to come home for a short furlough, but Dino's in the hospital with pneumonia and pleurisy, and they can't seem to get rid of his fever. So she was not able to come home. She wanted to stay there and help him. And then Ian Rathy from the Dominican Republic, who's been serving the Lord for 60 years, is coming back to Miami the end of this month for some cataract and eye surgery. So you might remember these in prayer as well. As we go about in the modern world in which we live, we always hear calls for change. No matter what we're doing, whatever we're doing is not right, we've got to change. We've got to modernize. We've got to improve. We've got to do things differently. You know, no matter how much you hear this, you are reminded of the phrase that there's nothing new under the sun. nothing ever changes. Maybe the way we do things, maybe the tools we use, the implements we use, but the basic things are still the same. I'm reminded of a message I heard some years back by a chemist at one of our North Jersey Assembly rallies. He got up on the platform and he was speaking on that theme, the more things change, the more they remain the same. He took a jug of clear water, and as he went on through his message and made different points, he added a chemical to it that would change the color of the water. He changed it from every color in the rainbow, I guess, and when he finished it up, it was back to the clear-looking water, and he said it was fit to drink, but nobody tried it. Nevertheless, he made his point, the more things change, the more they remain the same. We know that, too, from our style habits. You know how the men's ties get wide and narrow and wide again. Just put them away a while, they'll always come back. The same with the ladies' skirts, how they go up and down, and they always come back. So things don't change. They vary a little bit, but they don't change. The one thing that's been unchangeable over the centuries is the Word of God. The Word that He has given to us has never changed. We still have the commission to go and tell. We still have the commission, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. We must remember these words, and we must stick to the book. We must be sure we understand it and use it as God would have us use it and be guided by what it says in its pages. I'd just like to read three scriptures before going any further. They're very familiar ones, I'm sure. The first one is in Acts 13, 1-4. Now, there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. The first missionaries going forth, called by the Holy Ghost, sent forth by him, released by the saints at that church there to go to the mission field. And then back to Matthew 28, closing verses there. "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." All power is given unto me, so go, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is the command of the Lord to every one of us. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 20, the same day at evening, is the 19th verse, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." What an important command that is for us. "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." It is the Lord that sends us forth with this command to get out the gospel. Now the film that we are going to see very shortly concerning the ministry of CMML, while it has some very important parts of it, one of the things it's trying to point out is that CMML is a service organization, just as Missionary Service Committee in Canada and Echoes of Service in England. It is not a mission board. It is not a mission society. It is a service organization. Some people say that CMML, well, that's the Brethren's Mission Board. Well, nothing kind of riles your back a little more than to hear those words, especially when you hear from people who you think should understand. So I thought tonight, before we saw the film, we'd just take a look at the characters of a mission board and then compare them to a service committee. And this is not to belittle the work of mission boards or societies, but just to show you what CMML is and how it operates. I have a little chart here. If my tripod will hold it up, I'll hold it up with it. Yeah, I'll hold it up this way. What are the characteristics of a mission board or a society? Well, they recruit candidates. They advertise in magazines. They print things. They send out circulars challenging you to become a missionary and to join their board. Well, we do not do that. We feel that it's the Lord, as we read in Acts, and the Holy Spirit that calls them and sends them forth. Mission boards set standards of service. They train the graduates and they commission them. They send them forth. They control or channel their financial support. They transfer them from one place to another or recall them back to this country. Then it retires them. Then it charges them for their services. And then finally it provides other supporting services. Now let's just look at this chart of what a mission board or a mission society does and see how it compares to what Christian Missions in Many Lands or Missionary Service Committee, Echoes of Service, or any service organization does. Do we recruit and accept candidates? No. We do not do any recruiting. We look to the local assembly, realizing that an individual or a couple have been called of the Lord to go forth to the mission field. The local assembly commends them and sends us a letter of commendation. Then we are ready to offer them all the services that we possibly can. So we do not recruit candidates. Set standards. We do not set standards. This may be necessary to get statements of faith signed and everything else in some places, but this is the responsibility of the elders of the local assembly to set the standards for those that that assembly is going to commend. The important part of that is that for the elders to see that their young people are trained in God's Word and understand it thoroughly and be developed in the local church. So we do not set the standards. What the missionary service group looks for is a letter of commendation from a local assembly. We do not train candidates. The best training ground for a missionary is the local assembly. We will not belittle any training. Much training is needed, depending upon where a candidate is going, where a missionary is going to on the field. But we do not undertake that training. The elders of the assembly, in consultation with the missionary or the prospective missionary, will know where they're going, how well they are qualified for it, whether they need additional training or not. But this is not the responsibility of a missionary service organization. So we do not train candidates. We do not commission any graduates from our training program. This is back to essentially the same thing. We get a copy of the letter of commendation from the home assembly, and that is all that is required. We do not commission them. They are not out under CMML. They are out in association with us and getting our services, and we will provide letters of guarantee if needed. But the responsibility for the commissioning is with the local assembly. We have a statement, a ruling, I might say, from a judge in a federal court that says that a letter of commendation from assemblies, as far as tax purpose is concerned, is considered equal to what the law calls licensed, commissioned, or ordained. The letter of commendation from the local assembly is what's important. We do not commission candidates. We do not send them forth. We read from Acts who sends them forth. It's the Holy Spirit that sends them forth. The local assembly lets them go, realizing what they're going to do, and they go called of the Lord. And once they have gone, CMML does not supervise them. We have no control over what they do on the field. We do know that if another missionary or other missionaries report of some doctrinal problems, we will go back to the local assembly and talk about it and write about it. But we do not control the missionaries on the field at all. We do not tell them how long to stay away. We do not tell them what field of service to be engaged in. We do not tell them how to spend their money. We do not even ask them to account to us for how much money they receive and what they did with it. So we do not supervise them, and that gets to our next point. We do not control their financing. We do not have any set standards that a missionary should get every month or anything like that. What we get, we pass on to them as the Lord's people have sent it in, and less than 10% of what we receive comes to us undesignated. And then at a meeting of some of our directors each Thursday morning, having read recent letters and been in much prayer about it, we decide how to allocate this amount of funds. And then periodically from legacies, we will make a general distribution to every missionary on the list, perhaps giving a little more to those with children and those that do not have children and things like that. But in no way do we seek to control their financial support. Nor do we transfer or recall them. A missionary can be out with a society, and for some reason, they can be called to move from one country to another. There's one particular society had a lot of difficulty in Zaire when it was the Congo, and they just took all their people out of there and sent them to another country in South America. And we would not do anything like that. It is, again, up to the Lord's servant, looking to the Lord for guidance and in consultation with the elders of his commending assembly as to where he will serve. He may be in one country and decide to go elsewhere. This he talks over with the Lord, and he discusses it with the elders of his assembly, and if they are in agreement, why, he can make the move or do what he likes. We do not retire then. We have no retirement plan. I remember George Sharp telling a story about a man from a mission group that was interviewing a young man that wanted to be a missionary with that group, and the young man and the elder gentleman had quite a conversation, and at the end of it, the older man said, "Do you have any questions?" The young man said, "Yes, I have one more question. What is your retirement plan?" And this kind of took the older brother as a surprise, and he mumbled for a little while and thought about it, and he finally came out and said, "Yes, we do have a retirement plan. There's a cemetery just down the road." And that was the end of the retirement plan. But we do have a retired missionary aid fund, and as the Lord's people are exercised to contribute to that retired missionary aid fund, we make periodic distributions to those on the retired list. You do not see too many retired in the handbook. Most of them stay on the field where they are and continue to serve as the Lord enables them. So we do not retire them. And we do not charge them for their services. Every penny that comes in designated for missionary goes to that missionary. We do not take anything for the expenses of CMML unless the donor tells us a specific amount or a percentage amount. If someone says, "Take what you need for expenses," we will not take anything. You must tell us how much or what percentage, otherwise the whole thing goes to the missionary. And we're grateful for local assemblies that periodically send gifts to us designated for our expenses so that we may continue to render these many services. So then we're down to the last one. Provides other services. Now that looks like a little bit, but that's really quite a lot. It takes us quite busy every day of the week. Long hours trying to keep up with all the things that we try to do to help the missionaries. And now I think we'll see the film, and after that we'll have a time of questions and see if we can be a little bit more specific. Thank you. One mic, please.
There was an awakening among Christians in many parts of the world. large numbers of local churches, closely following the pattern found in the New Testament, came into existence. Shortly thereafter, numbers of devoted men and women responded to personal calls from God. They went out to unevangelized areas of the world to fulfill the Great Commission. These missionaries proved the sufficiency of the living God who met their needs in a variety of ways. As a missionary service organization, CMML does not send missionaries. We do not support missionaries. We do not superintend missionaries. We simply serve the missionaries. Each servant of Christ, individually responsible to his master, is sent forth by God and provided for by him, as seen in Romans 14:4. It is the responsibility of the church as a whole to support the Lord's workers by prayer and practical fellowship. However, between the missionaries on the field and the assemblies at home, a bridge was necessary to span the gap, a bridge to channel information, a bridge to channel assistance, a bridge to provide services that could not be done by the missionaries or their home assemblies individually. CMML is simply a bridge of service.
Christian Missions in Many Lands Incorporated is a group of men that joined together as a committee. In 1971, it was reorganized as a merger of four existing missionary service groups to more efficiently assist the entire assembly missionary effort. These organizations were Christian Missions in Many Lands Limited, The Fields Incorporated, Voices from the Vineyard Missionary Corporation, and the Julia Hatzey Memorial Missionary Home. The new organization is composed of directors who are former or current businessmen in assembly fellowship residing in the New York metropolitan area. The corporation has four officers: president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. The office is managed by the treasurer, and the staff is comprised of full and part-time salaried and volunteer workers. Facilities are needed in which to carry on many facets of CMML's ministry. God, in his generosity to his servants, has provided such a place. Located in rural Wall Township, New Jersey, just 60 miles south of New York City, are the building and 17-acre grounds. Under the care of a building administrator and part-time workers, the missionary home provides pleasant and comfortable surroundings. Missionaries and their families on furlough or en route to and from their fields of service are given accommodations free of charge. Other assembly commended workers are accommodated as space permits. The comfortable and tastefully furnished bedrooms and kitchenettes make for a restful stay for many of the Lord's servants. A supply of food is kept in the pantry so that the missionary doesn't have to run out and buy groceries immediately upon arrival. There is a recreation room within the building. And for the younger ones, a delightfully arranged room that is used for both study and play. Acres of landscaped property provide plenty of room for children to play in safety. Another of the many services available to the missionary upon arrival is the use of a vehicle. There are several vehicles kept on the grounds and made available for missionary's use while residing at the missionary home. A large evangelical library was received as a legacy from the estate of Mr. Thomas Wilson of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The furnishings in the library were donated by the family and friends of the late Dr. Robert Hazel. Dr. Hazel served as the director of CMML and was involved in the early negotiations for the purchase of the present building. The clothing center is full of new and used clothes donated to CMML for missionaries' use. Ladies from area assemblies come and unpack the boxes received at the clothing center. They size the items and place them in drawers or on racks. They also help missionaries find and choose what they want. In many cases, the missionary ladies prefer the more simple cotton dresses for use overseas. The women's department has a larger selection than the men's department. There is always a need for new children's pajamas and nightgowns. All donations should be clean and ready to wear. Some assemblies have had showers for the clothing center. Other individuals have shopped for bargains, and what a delight it is to receive these new things. CMML is grateful to God for the generosity of His people in giving to the clothing center. It is a real service and provides a needed benefit to each missionary who takes advantage of it. It is preferred, where possible, that parcels for the clothing center be sent via UPS. Missionaries preparing a shipment for overseas can have assistance in packing that shipment at the CMML facilities in New Jersey and also in having it shipped. CMML is familiar with regulations affecting missionaries imposed by governments of other countries. When necessary, as a service to the missionary, CMML is prepared, along with the backing of a commending assembly, to issue a letter of guarantee. This letter certifies that the missionary is in good standing and that CMML accepts responsibility for the missionary's maintenance while he is overseas and for his repatriation to the U.S. should this ever become necessary. An emergency fund has been set up for this purpose. Perhaps the most important service rendered by CMML concerns the handling of funds received for the furtherance of the Lord's work in the missionary endeavor. In the Apostle Paul's day, the Philippian church sent to him when he was in need, Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. The Macedonian churches, although in deep poverty, abounded in liberality in sending gifts for his use and for the work of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. These instances and others were cited as examples to the early Christians in the New Testament letters, and they, as we, were exhorted to continue such service in a manner worthy of God. 3 John 6. CMML, as a service organization, forwards funds to missionary projects under the direction of the Lord's servants. However, the committee exercises no control over the use of the funds. Gifts are received on a daily basis and are credited to the account of the missionary on CMML's records, and the funds are deposited in the committee's account at the bank. Each day's work is written up for computer processing. Most funds received are designated for specific missionary projects. Funds not so designated, less than 10%, are allocated by the directors after prayerful consideration of all known factors, including special needs. Funds are distributed monthly, and a statement is sent to each missionary showing the names and addresses of the donors and the amount of the gift. Sometimes the donor wishes to remain anonymous, and in that case, the name and address are not shown. Receipts are issued to each donor as evidence of a tax-deductible charitable contribution in accordance with the regulations of the IRS. Many missionaries choose to establish personal bank accounts in the homeland, and if requested, remittances are sent there rather than overseas. Missionaries may request CNML to pay bills with some of the money from their accounts. CNML maintains full and comprehensive accounting records, which are audited annually by certified public accountants. Each month, a notice is published in Missions Magazine showing total gifts received for the month and the amount designated for expenses. The missionary project receives 100% of all funds designated for that project. No deduction of any kind is made for operating expenses or expansion programs by CNML. The operating expenses amount to about 8% of the total gifts received, but actual contributions designated for CNML expenses run only about 4 to 5%. The balance comes from interest earnings or designated bequests. Natural disasters such as earthquakes and hurricanes often result in injury, loss of life, property, and goods. The disaster fund has been set up to channel financial assistance through assembly missionaries to local assemblies, believers, and others affected by a disaster. Monies are contributed to this fund during the year and especially at the time of an emergency. The disaster funds are used to provide food and shelter for the homeless, provide clothing and medical aid, help in the repair and reconstruction of homes and meeting places. Special funds have been established to help missionaries in two specific areas. The Missionary Education Assistance Fund, MEAF, was set up to assist the missionary families meet the cost of their children's education. This is done by providing financial help for those children on the field up through high school. It is maintained by the free will offerings of the Lord's people. Some missionaries have found it necessary to retire from their active service for the Lord. Such retirees tend to become forgotten. Thus, the Retired Missionary Aid Fund was established. As funds are made available from time to time by concerned believers, they are distributed by CNML to those on the retired list. To many missionaries a long way from home and friends, some struggling with a new language and coping with a different culture, a visit by someone from their homeland is both refreshing and deeply appreciated. CNML directors seek to do this, and we urge assembly elders to do the same. You can see missionaries' circumstances, appreciate their problems, and see their various avenues of service. It is a great encouragement to them to know that others are interested in their service for the Lord, and they value any counsel or ministry given. Service is that of keeping assemblies informed of their missionary outreach. This always creates more awareness and support for the Lord's work. CNML is a link between missionaries and assemblies. This, of course, does not take the place of direct contact with each missionary. It is only a channel by which a missionary can pass on information, prayer requests, etc., to a broad group of assemblies. In providing this service, CNML publishes Missions Magazine to bridge the communications gap between over 500 missionaries and thousands of readers at home. From 50 to 80 letters are received each month, and excerpts are printed in the magazine. This vital Lines from the Front section fills 7 to 9 pages and is keyed to the day number and country sequence of the Missionary Prayer Handbook. The magazine often contains two or three reports on a field or a major event. A unique feature is the four-page pull-out center section entitled Know Your Missionaries. The missionary's country of service is covered in depth with information on its history, politics, geography, background of assembly missionaries serving there, and history of the assembly work. All of this information, when considered together, generates specific and intelligent prayer. Articles on doctrine, exhortation, or missionary principles and practice are included in the magazine occasionally. Such articles are a special blessing to the missionaries as well as to those at home. Shortly after new missionaries arrive on the field, their personal testimonies are published under the magazine heading, May We Introduce. The accounts of their exercise and calling of God give encouragement to others, perhaps to follow suit. The Keeping in Touch section lists commendations, arrivals, departures, births, home calls, and related items. The Missions Magazine is sent free of charge to all who request it. Used in conjunction with Missions Magazine and the Know Your Missionaries insert is the Missionary Prayer Handbook. The purpose of the handbook is to encourage systematic, intelligent prayer for the work of the Lord around the world. The Prayer Handbook is published once a year, keeping pictures and statistics as current as possible. The handbook lists current and retired missionaries commended from assemblies in the United States and Canada. An enlarged photocopy of the handbook is used in the office to update information throughout the year. Each year, a questionnaire is sent out to all the missionaries to help gather information for the new edition to be published. We also request new photographs so the prayer handbook can be kept up to date with growing families. The Missionary Information Telephone Service, a two-minute recording of up-to-date news, provides many assemblies with material for their weekly prayer meetings. This is another source for missionary news and prayer requests. From time to time, CMML publishes other titles. One such book, Global Strategy, The Biblical Plan of Mission, is an excellent study guide for anyone interested in missions. Articles serialized in the magazine are sometimes published in booklet form. Biblical Financial Principles by Harold McKay and Getting to Grips with Missions by Ken Fleming are two examples. Booklets have been published designed to stimulate missionary interest and to encourage young people to become involved in the missionary effort. Some books published are completed works of a single author, such as Africa, O Africa by Albert Horton, the memoirs of a veteran missionary, and God's Call to Special Service by T.E. Wilson. Other publications are compilations of articles by several authors. CMML provides another service for the missionaries and home assemblies, assistance with planning and helping to provide speakers for missionary conferences and meetings. When missionaries return home on furlough, their visits to local assemblies stimulate missionary interest. When requested to do so by the missionaries, CMML will arrange meetings for them with assemblies in the New York metropolitan area or make contacts for them in other areas. Some assemblies throughout the country have monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly missionary meetings. CMML is pleased to help by supplying names of available missionaries in their area. CMML can also provide special information material for missionary films and slide presentations. In some areas, 2 or 3 day missionary conferences are held every year. The service committee is ready to help with suggestions, material, speakers, or even to come as a team and conduct such conferences in cooperation with the local committee. Several of the directors are available to travel wherever they are invited to explain the ministry of CMML or to participate in missionary meetings and conferences.
As you have seen, many men and women from the assembly have gone forth to reach the field with faith in God, practicing New Testament missionary principles. Here we come on to service for their many needs. We are one of several service organizations serving a worldwide network of assembly missionaries. There is a spirit of love and cooperation among all these service organizations as we work together to provide that needed service. We at CMML serve the needs of missionaries free of charge. We offer accommodations to missionaries from which they may be partly returned. We assist them in financial matters and make available information from them to home assembly. Their missionary activities and outreach are brought to continually before the Lord's people through the CMML Missions magazine and other publications and through missionary conferences. More effective prayer support is stimulated also through the use of the missionary for our members. Let me emphasize once again that CMML's part in all this is simply to serve. To help all who respond to this call in accordance with his direction in the New Testament, and to serve the assembly for the Lord's people that commend and support us. We live in a unique period of the Church's history. The challenge to fulfill the Lord's great commission is more urgent today than it has ever been. He calls every one of us to respond to the utmost while there is yet time. The Lord is coming soon.
Well, we do trust you will benefit from that film. And while you're thinking of a question or two, I just might add one or two little things. One is the area of international finance, which if you read your papers, you know is becoming more confused every day. Very hard for people to use different kinds of money in different places. Fact is, it used to be no difficulty for us to handle Canadian dollar checks and British pound checks for the missionaries. But even with our long-standing relationship with the Bank in New York, this year they said, if you process a Canadian check through us, we're going to charge you $25. If you process a British pound check through us, we're going to charge you $40. This, regardless of whether it's £1 or £1,000. So this not only applied to us, but applied to all the missionaries. And so as a result, we have opened a bank account. One of our directors, John Collette, is an officer in the Royal Bank of Canada's New York agency. So they opened a Canadian account for us, and they give us American dollars at the current rate of exchange with no service fees. And we've opened a British pound account in England, and we use the money that we get there to remit to Echoes of Service and others that way. So we have avoided all these charges, and so we've become quite busy with some of our missionaries and getting their $5 and $10 checks or $5,000 checks, whatever it may be, and processing it for them and helping them out in this way. Likewise, our dear friends from Down Under, or as Stan Warren would say, the Antipodes in Australia and New Zealand, mighty fine countries, but nobody else wants any of their money. Those folks serving the Lord in South America particularly cannot use the money that they get there. And so, as was indicated in the film and our relationship with the other organizations, we have stood for these missionaries at the bank in New York, and they've opened American dollar accounts there, and their agencies in Australia, New Zealand cable American dollars to the bank in New York for them, but we have to look after any of their difficulties or problems. And then we get involved in strange things. You never know what's going to happen when you pick up the phone call. Some days you don't hear anything. Some days you get three or four strange things. Just this week I had a call for some advice and suggestions on how to get the drive shaft for front wheel drive over to Roger Raybuck in Zaire in a hurry. I wasn't very much help, I can tell you that. Anybody have any questions? I hope you do. Clint said he'd ask me my name because I told him the first question was hard to come by. I first stopped working at the bank. That's 12 years ago now. It's gone very fast. We used to get 700 receipts a month. I was just telling Ed before that from our cutoff in December to the cutoff in January, we had 2,113 receipts. So we kept pretty busy.
In sending out clothing, does it all have to be new or partly used, or what's the standard? And also, in connection with summer, what to be used in Africa or Alaska or what else?
Well, let me put it this way. Our standard is if you wouldn't wear it yourself, don't send it to us. Basically, it's new or almost new. We don't want clothing that can be cleaned, even if it can be, because we don't have the people or the time to do it. We want it ready to wear and new or almost new. Our missionaries, the Lord's servants, are not second-class citizens. They deserve the best. Very often we meet some of them coming from Africa with an overcoat or two at the plane because, you know, it's December. How'd you like to get off a plane from Africa tonight and not have a coat with you? Well, it's good we have them. We can meet them and warm them up for a little bit anyway. All right. You saw in the film about the letters of guarantee. If a missionary goes into a foreign country, in order to be sure he's not going to take a job from a local national individual or something like that, the government of that foreign country looks to some recognized group to provide a letter of guarantee saying that they will be responsible for the maintaining of that individual while they're overseas, and for their repatriation to the United States should this ever become necessary. Now, in order to accomplish that, you can see where a good-sized emergency fund would be necessary. If the assemblies are ever called upon to get all their missionaries out of Zambia in a hurry, you can see it would take a few plane loads to get them out of there. So a good-sized fund is needed. And what we have established is this emergency fund, and when any funds are used from this, we look to the local assembly to reimburse CMML for any funds that are used for that purpose. Not if they can't do it, they don't have to, but if they can, and when they can and are able, we'd look to them to send it back to us so that we could have those funds for another emergency. Now, a few years back, we set a lid on that fund, and we did have a policy, and we still do, if an assembly contributes to the emergency fund in the course of the years, why, they will get a receipt for their tax deduction, and we would credit it to their account. And should their missionary ever have to be brought home in a hurry, and they had to use some emergency funds, the amount that they had contributed would be to their credit. Does that explain it, Ed? No? Thank you. Any other questions?
You know, I still have a question as to how the missionary on the field, how the money is transferred, is it done by
okay.
Okay.
Very good. 75 or 80% of the missionaries in the handbook keep their money in the United States, and they take it into the foreign country as they need it. They take it in maybe once a month, once every 2 months, maybe more frequently, but they take advantage of the exchange rates. What most of them do is open a bank account in a local bank where they are and operate with foreign currency, and then periodically they can write a check. One of the advantages of having a checking account at Chase Manhattan Bank is it's known around the world and their checks are honored, so they can deposit a check and use those funds. Now, it is possible in some countries where they'll deposit a check and they'll have to wait 3 or 4 weeks before they can use the money because the bank wants to make sure the check is good. We do in a few cases, like in Papua New Guinea, and one in Japan, where we have a standard arrangement with the bank where they cable some money to them every month. That's the best way for them to get it. But basically, it's just by maintaining an account in the United States and the missionary transferring it periodically. In the case of Zaire, we have another little wrinkle that comes in. They need Zairean currency over there, and they can't transfer American dollars into Zairean currency. So they tell us how much they think they'll need every month in the local currency to meet their needs over there, and we transfer that amount to the account of some of the groups over there, like Center Medical Evangelique or Editions Evangel, the printing work or the medical work. And then the medical man over there, right now it's Mark Foshag, is the treasurer of that group. They will give the missionary the equivalent in local currency as of that date, and then the medical work or the printing work has those American dollars in the United States, so that when they have to buy paper or buy medicine in any country of the world, they have the American dollars readily available. We do everything we can to avoid any cost of exchanging money. For instance, with Echoes of Service, we maintain an account with each other, and we settle up twice a year when their books close and when our books close, so we avoid any service or exchange losses as much as we can. Any other questions? Well, it's hard to know who's neglected. We know a great deal about what goes through, but we don't necessarily get all the funds that go to a missionary. But when we get unallocated funds, we do every Thursday morning, there's a group of four or five, sometimes six directors get together, and knowing the latest letters and the prayer needs and the situation, why we allocate the money. We sometimes hear from one missionary about another missionary who's in need. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and some of the most needed missionaries are the ones that never open their mouth. Now, we heard about a fellow down in South America who had a very hard job keeping beans on the table, as the other missionary used, and so we tried to help him for a period of time. So it's one of our greatest concerns as to how we allocate the funds that are left to our discretion. It's very easy to take a list and say, well, this is how much they got, and give to everybody that's low on the list. Well, we don't know all the income, and maybe the Lord is telling some missionaries it's time to come home. He's not providing for them, so he wants them to come home. So we have to watch that with great care. But we do know, basically, at time who's involved in some special project or who has some particular illness or particular need at that time. Do missionaries have tax problems? There's a general by the name of Jerry Keller from St. Louis. He's been here 4 years, and he's coming back this year, and I think he, half of his time now must be taken up with Assembly of Missionaries. What'll I say? A lot of them feel, well, we're missionaries. We don't have to pay taxes. Well, that's not true. They may be exempt from income tax for a lot of the money they get overseas, probably for all the money they get overseas, but they are still subject to self-employment, or what is the equivalent to Social Security tax, and they must pay that, and they must pay that in advance, or else they're apt to get in trouble. I had a letter this week from a young man who's not been on the mission field too long. He says, this is my first year overseas, and I have to pay taxes. I've never paid any. Please send me the forms and a book of instructions. I really don't know what to tell the gentleman. He's in trouble already. He's supposed to pay his estimated tax. But they do have their problems. And I'm sorry to say that some of our senior missionaries have never, never, never filed a tax return. And they may not have to pay tax, but they have to file that return. And some of them have a problem when it gets to Social Security age time, and they want to get some coverage. We have had utmost cooperation from the Social Security office in Asbury Park. At least there's enough of the folks that go there that they're used to the situation, and it's not a new one every time. So it's helped. I had one of our missionaries write and ask me to get her a Social Security number. Hasn't gotten even got a Social Security number. So they do have their problems like that, but it's getting better. It's getting better. Maybe we're getting a bit too organized now. They're all asking us about IRAs for missionaries and things like that. Any other questions? Okay, once again, I appreciate being here and thank you for this opportunity.